Good morning,
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Renita, and this is the Morning Glory Show under my hostess, Billy Burns, and her husband. I really need to know his name. And I also would like to send my condolences and my heartfelt prayers to the Burns family for the death of a close friend. Everyone, please continue to lift them up in prayer. We also are under the umbrella of Pastor Adrian Bernard, and she does a radio show called Time of Reflection from Tuesdays to Thursdays at 4 p.m. with exceptional guest pastors that elaborate eloquently on God's Word. Every Saturday, Billy Burns hosts They Overcame, where people come together from all walks of life to testify about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, good morning, everybody, and how are y'all doing today? I haven't been on the air in about 9 months. I was in a severe accident, and I went through a lot. I'm going to tell y'all I went through a lot. But this morning, as I was laying in bed about 4 o'clock this morning, I couldn't breathe. And I had to sit up and get up, you know, because I was having difficulty breathing and talking this morning. Keep me in prayer. The devil busy. He trying to stop God's work from coming forth, but it will come forth. Are you on the air, Miss Burns?
I'm here.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. And I am just so excited to hear your testimony this morning. You know, our God is so good and so great and so worthy of all the praise and the honor and the glory. And I'm just thanking God for you, thanking God for just everything this morning, taking us over the highway, being able to be here for Katie, the widow of my husband's lifelong best friend, and it's just been a blessing. It's just been a blessing, and we're getting ready for the funeral, the homegoing this morning, and so we just wanted to stop in and, you know, say good morning to everybody. We just posted on Facebook for people to call in and listen to your testimony, and I know that someone will be inspired and someone will be blessed and someone will be encouraged to go on to see, as they used to say in testimony service, to see what the end's going to be.
It's going to bring. Amen. Amen. Amen.
So enjoy yourself. Give your full testimony. You have all the time in the world, and
you know I'm gonna use it too. Well, good morning, everybody. Like I said, my name is Renita, and I was co-hosting under Billy Burns last year. It's almost next month will be my year anniversary. Well, I've been out 9 months. So I don't know how you add that up. But I was on my way to church. It was November 5th, 2014. And I decided to leave early to go get my nails done. And then I was going to pick up one of the sisters from the churches and go and have an early dinner. And then I was going to go because I had to teach a Bible study class that night. Well, I was on my way that afternoon, and I do not to this day remember the impact of the accident. All I know that my car was hit in the driver's door, and I was hit so hard that the back end and the front end of my car almost met. My car was bent. They had to cut off both doors and peel the roof back to pull me out. I was crushed. I suffered. Every rib in my body was broken. I punctured and collapsed my left lung. I had to have 3 breathing tubes inserted. I fractured my pelvis in 3 places. I lacerated my liver, and I was in the hospital for a month. And during that time, I was on a lot of medication. I was confused. I thank God for my mother today because my mother sat in a hard wooden chair all week with me because she didn't want to leave me alone because I didn't know. All I knew was my name. I knew who certain people were, but I forgot my son said visited me. My son was like, Mom, I came to see you. I said, when did you come see me? I accused my husband of going out and partying and leaving me in the hospital for days. And I was only there, wasn't even 48 hours I was there. And I was like, you left me here? You didn't come see me? And my mother said she said I was hysterical. She said she was cracking up laughing at me, but it was the effects of the medication that was playing tricks with my mind. I was on 10 pain pills by mouth, and Demerol and morphine. I was hallucinating. I was seeing things, and I was scared to say anything to anybody because I know I ain't crazy, and I didn't understand the effects of the medication they had me on. They had me on a medication called Roxycodone, which I come to find out is a derivative of heroin. And when I ran out of that medication, I was home, I had chills, and I got very sick, and I didn't understand why this particular pill that I didn't have, it had my body in such a state that it had it in. And when I did the research on it, I found out that it was a derivative of heroin. So that pill, I had to get off of that pill, and I had to wean myself off of the pill. I came home and I stayed on medication for about 6 months. For the first 2 months I was home, I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't walk. My left side, all my ribs were broken, and they were broken so bad on the left side of the impact that now my ribs are metal on my left side, and it took a long time for that to mesh with my body. I couldn't move. I have difficulties now with my left arm. They're saying I have degenerate joint disease and my left shoulder because of the impact of the accident. But I thank God today I can walk. I am totally in my right mind because that medication had me during the time I was home. And like I said, I couldn't walk. So I was always here in the house. My husband was here with me, Alexander. And he would work double shifts because I didn't work anymore. For the first month I was home, my son quit his job and he came here and stayed with me. And I thank God for him. He stayed with me. He made sure my legs, you know, stay elevated. He made sure I had my medication. He made sure that I ate. But he had to go and live his life. You know, I can't hold my child down, but I appreciate the month that he did stay here with me. For the next month, I was still on the medication. Alexander was working double shifts, and I was scared to cook because I was on so many pills. I was scared I would fall asleep and burn the house down. So I began eating junk food and, you know, different stuff like that, too many snacks, which prior to that, I had been off diabetes medication for a year. The accident, I'm back on diabetes medication, but that too, I give to the Lord because I'm going to begin exercising to lose weight. But as I sat in the house, you know, by myself all day, every day, I began to get very severely depressed. I know that it was, a lot was the medication. A lot of it was that I couldn't focus long enough to read the Bible. I didn't go to church. I couldn't drive. My husband working 7 days a week, 18 hours a day. He wasn't going to take me to church, and no one came to take me to church. I sat in his house alone. No one, I mean, family included, besides Alexander, no one came to visit me. No one came to see how I was doing. No one knew if I was dead or alive in this house. My mother did call me. She doesn't have a car. She lived 3 hours away. My mother called me every day. I do have a girlfriend that lives in this area. Her husband works with my husband, and I didn't even really know her. And she began to visit me to make sure I was okay daily, and I thank God for her. I thank God for her. She would come by and see how I was doing it. Sit with me while I was sleeping, and you know, different things of that nature. But I, as sitting in this house alone, I became severely depressed and I became suicidal. You know, the devil was trying to implement thoughts in my head to make me kill myself because, can I be truthful with y'all? Can I talk to y'all? I can talk about me and can't nobody get mad because I talk about me. To be honest, I was angry. And that was his hold or his open door to come in and torture me. I was angry because of my accident. I was angry because I was doing so much in the Lord prior to that accident. And then when that accident came, everything was taken from me. I couldn't focus. I couldn't do anything. And I was angry. I was angry for a minute at God. I'm going to be honest this morning. I don't know how y'all going to do y'all walk, but I'm just going to be honest in mine. Because lying ain't going to help nobody. Lying and holding back the truth is not going to help anybody. I, Renita K, was angry with God because I didn't understand. If I'm serving you faithfully and I'm faithful to you, Lord, and I'm doing it, I'm tithing faithfully and I'm doing everything I can, I'm going everywhere and I'm doing and I'm ministering your word, why did I have to be put in a situation like this and then left alone to suffer? I didn't understand it. I still don't understand to this day why. But I'm not in that place anymore. But I was suicidal. And the devil was trying to put thoughts in my mind on ways to kill myself. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all a little bit about me. I'm vain. I'm just going to be honest. I'm a little vain. So I just can't kill myself any old kind of way. So the devil told me to take all them pills. Now, I'm sitting here on all these pills, and I don't like how these pills are making me feel, so I'm not going to take no pills. But if y'all ever heard my first testimony when I first came on, I tried to kill myself with pills in my 30s, years and years ago. It didn't work. So pills, it don't work. I'm not doing that. I'm not about to cut myself. I'm not finna go stand in front of nobody trains. I'm telling y'all, I'm not. I'm not finna go out here and get into another accident and look where I'm at. No, I'm not. We can't do this. We can't do this. And I mean, I had to rebuke and I had to pray and I had to cry and I had to call on the name of Jesus because the depression and the suicidal thoughts was setting into me so hard. I did for a minute want to give up. And that's because I was tired of my condition. I was very tired of my condition. But I didn't want to give up and die. I didn't want to give up and die. I just wanted my life back. I wanted to be able to walk again. I wanted to be able to drive again. I wanted to be able to go back to work and do the things and go to church and socialize and minister to people. That's the enjoyment of my life. I love to get out here and talk to people and talk about the goodness of the Lord and how God will bring you through. So if I'm out here telling people God's going to bring me through, I need to be strong too, don't I? Yes, I do. So I went through that. I battled that depression, and it was about for 2 months. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't know how. Because everybody looked at me as being so strong in the Lord. So I didn't know how to open up and tell people that what I was battling, like my husband or my mother, people who I talk to and I trust. Even Pastor Burns, I trust her because she was calling me and she was a warrior. She was a prayer warrior. She was, Renita, how are you doing today? Well, we finna pray. Renita, I thank God for her and her husband, the prayers that they sent forth, calling me and praying with me was the most rewarding thing. She does. I thank you. She doesn't even know how very grateful I was for her to do that. And I thank her so much today. And I thank her. And as I was going through and battling and trying to get off these pills because I came home on seven, you know, different pills, pain pills, and they have a lot of addicting agents in them. And I stayed on those pills for about 6 months, but then people kept telling my husband, and I heard them, Alex, watch her, because those pills going to have her addicted. Make sure she don't get addicted. And I thank God I was listening. And I didn't know that all of those pills had so much addicting agents in them. Well, me and my husband, we weaned me off all the pills. For 2 months after that, I just bared with the pain. I still get pain because the metal, it didn't mesh with my body. So it was very painful. I would get sharp, sharp pains that would wake me up in the middle of the night. And I still get sharp pains from even when they put the breathing tubes at. My doctor decided that since I had the breathing tubes to make sure I didn't have no rips or tears in my left breast, he sent me for another 3D mammogram this year. I just had my mammogram. He sent me for another one to make sure that everything in there was okay and not ripped and torn, because I was getting so many severe pains in there. And it was rough. It was rough. I had to learn how to walk again. I went through some physical therapy. I graduated from the wheelchair to the walker. And then I began to walk around the house. If I went out, Alexander took me to wherever I needed to go, whatever I needed to do. He would hold my hand or hands to, he would stand in front of me and hold both of my hands to walk me upstairs. I had to walk one step at a time, or he would stand to bring me down the stairs. And it was a traumatic experience in my life, but it was also a learning experience in my life, because when I had my accident and I looked around, nobody was there. Nobody but God. You know, you ask God to remove people out of your life that aren't good for you, to remove people out of your life that doesn't have your best interest at heart, and to remove people, you know, that are not for him like you are. Surround me with people that are chasing Jesus like I am. And as I got into the accident and laid here and recovered, I had one girlfriend who lived in Raleigh who visited me, who would call me daily. Even through my depression, I wouldn't answer the phone, but she would consistently call me every single day, 4 or 5 times a day. And I've known her we've known each other from 3rd and 4th grade. I had another girlfriend that I've known from my early years that would call me twice a week and send me money weekly. I had Alexander, I have Billy Burns, and I had the girlfriend who lives across the way here, Shamika West. That was it. Out of all the people I know, out of all the people who told me they love me, which I see people use that word too loosely, you know, Renita, if you ever need me, if you know, you this or that, I would be there. Nobody. And it's very painful, and it's very hurtful to look around and all the people who you thought were your friends and even family members, because I got family that lives around here. I can be real with y'all, right? I could be real with y'all. I'm talking about me. I have a lot of family that lives around here. Not no phone calls. And no one came to see me. Lord, what do you do with this? Lord, what do I do with this? Lord, how do I feel? And I think, no, I know that a lot of that had to do with me becoming depressed, because I was wondering why nobody wouldn't come up here to see if I could walk, you know, knowing they knew I couldn't walk. They knew the insides of what I went through in that accident. They knew I stayed in the hospital for a month. They knew, but no one came. And it hurts, especially with the friends. You're all right, you know, friends come and they go. But with your family, with people who supposed to love you, I even had two siblings. I had one sibling, and her name is Monica, who didn't speak to my mother's children, us, prior to the accident. We didn't have no relationship. But once she heard about the accident, she did reach out and inbox me and talk to me on Facebook and call me on the phone. And she did try. She has begun trying to build a relationship with some of her siblings. But I have two more siblings that have not picked up the phone yet to ask me, am I okay? I don't understand. When I love hard. And I don't know how to, you know, this is very difficult for me. You know, people always tell me I'm different. Renita, you different. No, I'm not different. This is the heart that God gave me. And the heart that God gave me, I couldn't sleep at night knowing that a sister or brother, cousin, anybody in my family, it would worry me. I would be convicted. I don't know how. I have siblings that, and prior to that, we were talking. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand God's ways. I don't understand because his understanding is higher than mine. I don't know why everybody was scattered out of my life. But I have to believe that God, no, I don't have to believe. I do believe that God knew best for me during the accident, during everything that I went through. And even prior to the accident, me and Alexander, the day before my accident, we had been separated prior to my accident. And he wanted to come home. So we talked and he came home. We were separated for about 6 months. And he came home. And the day before my accident, we got into an argument and we decided we was going to get divorced and we weren't even talking the day before my accident. When I woke up in the emergency room, Alexander was standing over me and his tears was hitting me in my eyes. And I opened my eyes and looked up and he was kissing me on my forehead, crying, telling me how sorry he is. And that impacted him. Because even though we go through different things, there are certain ways you should not leave stuff. Because if I would have died, which I did die in the accident, but God, he didn't leave me dead in my car. He let me live to see another day. He let me live to see another day. But if you leave stuff unsaid and you leave stuff hateful, you know, Alexander would have went through a lot because we weren't on good terms. And even though he had came back home, we still weren't there because nobody was still not trying to work on nothing. I'm talking about me. I'm just going to be honest. And I could talk about my marriage. We still were not trying to work on anything. I wasn't. And I told him, I said, the only reason why you're here is because God told me not to leave you. The only reason. So I felt like I didn't have to work on nothing because God had this and I'm not doing nothing because I was in a different place. You know, he'd been gone. I was satisfied being separated. I was telling Pastor Burns, I want to try to get divorced. The Lord told me, no, wait a minute. He gone. Y'all hear me clearly. Her, Renita, I wanted to. Y'all didn't hear me say nothing about God. I wanted to get a divorce, and God told me no. Because I went out there trying to get a divorce, and I couldn't. It just, you know, when God don't want you to do something, believe me, it is not going to work out. It is not going to work out whatsoever. And I tried. And I tried, and he said, no, don't leave him. I'm going to save him. All right, Jesus, you got him. So with that being said, no, I wasn't working, and I don't think he was working on anything either.
I think he came back home because it was more of a place of, you know, not convenience, but comfort, about being more comfortable. He's comfortable home, you know. And out there in the streets, from what he's told me, he was getting beat on really bad by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he went through a lot. And when he comes home, he don't go through all of that, he says. So he wanted to be home under the same roof as his wife. Okay, sure. Come on in. And the Lord I just have to thank him because I'm here. I just have to thank him because I'm alive. I have to thank him because he knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for you. God is good. And his mercy endureth forever. It endureth forever. I just have to sit back sometime. And I'm the type of person, I overthink. I'm over analytical, and I think so much that my brain does not even rest at night. I just close my eyes and get up, and it's the next day. I don't think my brain even rests because I think, and the Lord is teaching me now that, Renita, I got you. Renita, I got this. You're going to be okay, baby. You're going to be okay. But I thank him for what I went through, the trials and tribulations, because as I'm recovering now, I'm back at work, thank God. I'm walking good, but I used to walk 3 miles a day prior to the accident. No, y'all, I have not went out and done that yet. No. But I'm going to go and gain some weight. It's not cute. But I need to get out there, and I'm not sure how far I can walk, but I'm going to go out today after the show this morning and, you know, take a walk and see, you know, how far I can walk. Because when I fractured my pelvis in 3 places, I also tore, and I didn't know that, tore and ripped all the muscles and ligaments and everything in that area. So that's why it took me so long to walk again, because I had to wait for the muscles to regenerate or rebuild or whatever the muscles do. I had to wait for them to do that. And it took a good 4 months for me to even be able to walk through my favorite store, which is Walmart. I used to ride the cart. I rode the cart for about 4 months. And then one day I said, you know what, I'm going to try to walk through here. So I held on to the shopping cart. And I did good, and then every time I just pushed and did a little more, and pushed and did a little more, because I'm riding a cart is okay, but I'm not going to claim being handicapped. I'm not going to claim that I couldn't walk. I didn't claim none of that. I have to walk. I have to walk. I have to get around. I have to do God's will. I have to do what thus saith the Lord. And I'm in a church, Ministry Revelations Church now, Pastor Horace Pearson, very good, very, very, very good teacher. And also, I am in ministerial classes. I know a lot of y'all, I would always, even when I first met Pastor Bernard, and we met online, she would always say, Minister, are you a pet? No. Are you a minister? No. And everyone, and I mean everyone, daily I would get, are you a minister? No. People call you what they see. And I guess a lot of people see me as a minister, evangelist, or a teacher, which come next Friday, I will begin my ministerial classes. Thank you, your Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And just do what thus saith the Lord with my life, with my time, you know, that's my enjoyment. I love going to church. I love it. I love fellowshipping. I love visiting different churches. I love it. I love ministering to God's people. I love helping people. And God gave me that heart, and I thank God for it. I thank God for it. Well, I've been talking and talking and talking. We don't have any callers this morning, but that's okay. That's okay. I guess I'll just fill up the air some more and talk about, you know, the different things that I also went through with the struggles with learning how to rewalk again, and had to go to physical therapy, which was difficult. You know, I went into physical therapy. I never imagined the pain that climbing one step would cause. It took me about 5 minutes to lift one leg, holding on to the steps to walk the steps. I had to walk steps. I had to ride bikes. It was a trying experience. It was a trying because I didn't know. I thought at that time, because I'm go ahead and tell y'all, my memory was real foggy. I still have to consult my mother or my husband Alexander about some of the time when I was in the hospital, because a lot of things I forgot. I just don't remember. That's how strong that medicine was. I mean, I know I was in the hospital for a month, but a lot of being in the hospital, I don't remember. I do not remember. Maybe God blocked it out for a reason. You know, I don't remember the impact of the accident. I don't know what had happened. I don't know why. When Alexander got there, he said he stopped by the house, and he found my cell phone sitting on. So he said he think I was probably trying to turn around to come back and get my cell phone. He said, "I think you forgot your cell phone and you were trying to turn around." I don't know. I don't know. I did get to see the first responder. He found out I was back at work, and she came because she also worked for EMT at the hospital that I worked for. And she came around and she was like, "Hi." And I had to tell her thank you, and I had to give her a hug, because she said I was talking to her, and I don't remember. She said, "You was awoke." I was woke. I don't remember. I thought I was past slam out. I did not remember. She said, I told her, she said, I said, "Can you please help me?" She said, I told her that I couldn't breathe. And she said, I kept telling her my thighs was hurting. She's like, "Renita, I gave you some pain medicine," and they flew me to Vidin. After they cut me out the car, they flew me to Greenville to Vidin Hospital. And my husband called some of my friends, and my friends were knowing that me and him were in not such a good place. They were like, "He is lying. He is a liar." So a few of them came to the hospital. They were like, "Oh my God, he's not lying." You know, some of my friends was asking where was I. My husband was answering the text and different things of that nature, answering phone calls. Excuse me, good morning, it's morning time, because I wasn't in my right mind. I couldn't do anything. So I do thank God for him. I thank God for him because he did stick right there by my side. My mom stayed in the hospital with me a week, then my son stayed with me for a week, and then for my last 2.5 weeks, Alexander would go to work. He would work all day, all night, and he would drive straight to the hospital, and she would be at the hospital every night. I would tell him to go home, come on to the house, and he said he can't because I'm not in it. He's like, "I can't go there, you're not there." So he would come and spend every single night, and I appreciate it, and I thank God for him because he did do a lot of good, and he did take very good care of me. We're still going through some changes, but, you know, I just have to give it to God and let God work it out. Because everybody, Lord, have mercy, because everybody and everything we can't always fix. As bad as I want to fix everything, I can't. I remember my dad told me when I was growing up, "Renita, you cannot," you know, he didn't, I'm lying, he didn't say Renita because he didn't call me Renita. He called me Renite and Kiddo. "Kiddo, you cannot put a Band-Aid on the world and think you fixed everything." Not understanding his philosophy then, because he was a very wise man, he was letting me know that a Band-Aid is just a temporary patch for a situation. I can't heal and you can't save and you can't, as much as you want to help everybody, you can't. You can't. Everybody, you can't help. Everybody, you can't. You can't. And I thank God for that. Pastor Burns, I know you're getting ready for the funeral. Is there anything you want to say? She's probably gone. But yeah, we don't have any calls.
I just am so thankful that you were able to come back and be with us. I think I heard you say, because I, during this ordeal, I never knew that you died on impact. And did you talk about that? I'm going in and out. Did you talk about?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. No one never knew. No one knew. I didn't tell her. I think the only one who knew was my husband and my mom. I told my son. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that you had flatlined during that time. It's just amazing what God does for us. And I tell people, and sometimes I don't think people really believe some of the testimonies that I have on the broadcast, the things that God is doing in the life of his people. I mean, God is just doing some miraculous things. And
yes. And
that's why I'm here, because I want people to know that the God that we serve is a mighty God. And there is nothing, there's no situation that is too hard for him. We think that, you know, my situation is bad, but when we listen to some of the testimonies, and I thank God for the broadcast, we will be going into our fourth year this year.
Praise God, hallelujah, yes.
Yes, God is good, man. We just so thankful. The things that we heard, my motto now is building faith one testimony at a time, and that's what testimonies do. And the scripture says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome. If you don't have any issues, you don't have anything to overcome. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So I'm just, if anyone is listening via the internet, sometimes people just listen over the internet. And I just want to encourage you. I'm in North Carolina, and I mean, I'm in Kansas City, and I am lining up testimonies for next month and the following month. Our anniversary is in November, so we're going to be doing something special then. So I call in and give you a testimony. Don't worry about how you sound. I'm not eloquent in my speaking. It doesn't matter. Just call in and give God the glory. Moses had a speech impediment, but look what God did with him.
Amen. Well, thank God this year I'll be able to assist and maybe help you out with your anniversary, because last year I was in the accident.
Yeah.
Remember, we were planning and we were talking about it, and boom, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
God.
And I missed it all.
But God was there, and God is faithful to us. And you know, like I said, I'm just so grateful. We've never met face to face, just talked over the phone.
And for you not to meet me face to face, you are a prayer warrior. I tell you what, you was calling down here, sending up some timber, and it was some changes going on, because I seen it. I said, well, go ahead. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you. I appreciate it. I thank you, because it was only five people. Out of all the people, all the people I know, God only left five people in my life. Five people.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to wonder what...
He knows what he's doing. He doesn't make any mistakes. You know, we just have to, like with my husband's friend's funeral, talking to his wife, she was saying that he had a procedure done, or he had a angioplasty, whatever, on his heart to clear out plaque from his heart. And so he was feeling better, and then something else happened that caused him. I'm not clear on that, but she said that he was going to the called the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you know, come to the emergency room. I just want to check you out. And so he was going to go and leave her at home because she works from home. And he said, well, their son was going to take him to the hospital and leave him there. And then he said, well, when I get finished, I'll call you and you can come and pick me up. And she was like, absolutely not. You know, she said, I wouldn't be able to, you know, do any work knowing that you're in the emergency room. And so in 12 days, he was gone.
Oh, Lord. 12 and it was sudden, that's horrible. And that's horrible.
Yeah. And we don't understand, you know, but I was sharing with her, and she's just we both got married, and they had their 30th anniversary in June, and my husband and I will celebrate our 30th anniversary in October. So God is good. And so, you know, it's just, we don't know, but I told her that at least he didn't have to suffer a long time. You know, God was merciful. He could have lingered around and been in pain. He had pancreatic cancer, and, you know, he didn't have any symptoms. He didn't have any soreness. They said that usually you can't, you know, touch the area, it's inflamed and it's really painful, but he had none of that. So I said, we have to be thankful for the things that God, you know, his mercy endures forever.
Yes.
So you know, we're here. Keep us in your prayers. We went view the body on yesterday, and he looked so good because he wasn't sick. He wasn't sick, so he just looked like he was sleeping, and but it was really hard for the family and for my husband. And so, I said, we're going to the home going today, so just remember us in prayer.
I've already told everyone. But to touch back on something you said, that people find it hard to believe in testimonies, I've come to realize that if people don't have a personal walk with God, and if you really don't have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in you, then you will not be able to relate or understand what is done in the spirit realm. I've come to find out a lot of people have not had a personal experience with God, like to hear his voice and to do different things. So when you're going through something and you're testifying to people and letting them know what you're going through, they're looking at you, you know, like, she lying. No. You have to get your walk together with God. Yeah, I go again coughing. When my lung collapsed, they told me that it can happen again because it collapsed so bad. They told me that it can happen again, and I'm not claiming that. The devil is a lie. I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning coughing. I could barely talk this morning, but praise God, we're here, and I'm here. And if I got to whisper and write it, I'm going to proclaim the love of God from the rooftop to rooftop. If I got to send up smoke signals, if I got to write it down on some paper and run around here with a sign, that's what I'm going to do. That is what I'm going to do. But I've come to find out that a lot of people, now a lot of people of this day have not had a personal experience with God. And so it's hard for them to understand what you're going through. And even with me telling my testimony, you know, a lot of people have come to me and was like, well, I didn't know you were that badly hurt. You didn't know. I'm boggled by that. I'm boggled. If it was, I posted it on my page. Matter of fact, when I first got into the hospital, I was putting a post on my page that I was on all the medication, that I was in a severe car accident. I spelled every single word wrong. Car, I spelled it. Everything was spelled wrong. I even spelled car wrong. One of my aunts in California seen it, and she called me. We need to get off the computer. You are on all that medication. Get off of Facebook. You're spelling. And I didn't even realize that I spelled everything wrong. And everyone knew. I posted, I was posting a lot of my progress and what I was going through, but then I slowed down, you know. And I posted how it took me about four, because where they cut me from under my left breast all the way up to my left shoulder to put the metal in my ribs, and because I had the breathing tube and the collapsed lung, it took me about 4 months to even be able to wear a bra. And to this day, I can't wear, you know, a bra with a metal in it. I have to wear a very soft bra, and the elastic, I can't even, the elastic, if it's snug, I have to cut it because I still endure pain on my left side. It took me about 4 months before I was able to go and cook a meal. I mean, I didn't cook Thanksgiving dinner. I'm going to just go ahead and tell y'all, I got home the day before Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving, Alexander, he can't cook no elaborate meal. I had McDonald's, and this is the first time in 48 years I did not have a Thanksgiving dinner. He took me to McDonald's, and we had McDonald's for Thanksgiving. And I appreciate it. I couldn't cook Christmas dinner. I think he, what did I do Christmas? I think he made me some fried chicken and some macaroni cheese. He did do that. He tried. And it took me until about February until I was able to even cook again. You know, it took me until about February, March, before I was able to wear a bra. It took me to about February or March before I was able to even walk through a supermarket. It took me some months. And people are like, I didn't know you were that injured. I didn't know. I posted it on Facebook. I don't know if they weren't reading the post. I don't know if they weren't just paying attention. I don't know. I don't know, but yes, people, I'm very injured. I'm still dealing with the effects. I was working in the hospital. I was doing CNA work. I can no longer do work as a nurse in no capacity because my left arm and because of the metal, I can't do any lifting. I can't do any pulling. I can't do any of that. So that part of my life, again, has changed. I can't, and I'm going to leave it up to God. Maybe God don't want me to do the nursing anymore, because what I do now, I'm a sitter, and I sit with different people who are confused or suicidal, and I was wondering why I was going to be saying, people who are confused, suicidal, people who hallucinate on medication, people who are drug addicts or are drug addicted and trying to be clean. People who are trying to come off heroin. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I see you. I see you. But those experiences that I went through, you know, I did, like I said, I didn't understand why. To this day, I still don't understand why I went through a lot of it as far as a car accident is concerned. But everything that I went through, I'm able to use today, I guess, to be an effective minister or to effectively minister to people. You have to know, you know, what you're talking about. You can't, I can't, to someone who, I can have empathy about someone who couldn't walk, but I couldn't understand their plight unless I truly been there. And I have to say the Lord has took me through a lot of different ranges of things, like beating cancer twice, drug addict, alcoholic, you know, my children got taken from me. I mean, it's a lot, you know, the car accidents, you know, being married to an abuser who used to beat on me, being married to someone who was mentally abusive and on drugs, and he's dead, and just a lot of different things in my life. Being married to someone who has been through so much hurt, the man I'm married to now, that he couldn't do nothing. All he could do was hurt people because he was so hurt. You know, and I'm praying for God, you know, Lord, I'm not asking the Lord to fix him. I'm asking the Lord to fix me. But I did ask the Lord to deliver him and fill him with the Holy Spirit, you know, God, and let your words be his guiding light. Because if he gets filled with the Holy Spirit and he gets delivered, then I am not going to have to keep praying and asking God to teach him to love me, to teach him to do this for me, or show him, you know, me as a woman, because the Holy Spirit's going to do that, and the Holy Spirit will line him up. So that is my prayer for him today, Alexander Smith. That's my prayer for him. We've been through a lot, very turbulent marriage at some times. I don't want to go into all detail, but he's done some things to me since I had the accident that he's never done to me before, and I was, you know, really, really, really threw me for a loop because I couldn't understand. You wait till I'm in a situation where I can barely walk, you know, to do these things to me. You want to do these things, you should have done it when I was fully functioning. But that's for another testimony for another day. But, you know, I asked the Lord, you know, because no marriage is perfect. But then there's a line that I draw in the marriage when it comes to too much. But me and Alexander went through something instead of, because the accident took a toll on my life, but it took a toll on him. And it's, I guess he didn't know how to say that he needed help with me, because he would, I'm here alone. He would have to go visit his mother. He have to go visit his children. He want to go see his grandchildren. And then he come home and he got to take care of his wife. Instead of him saying it's too much, saying I need help, or even I need a break, he brought that out in a different way that was not conducive or constructive to the building of our marriage. He also ended up in the hospital having a severe anxiety attack because I guess he never, expressed really to anybody what he was feeling as I went through, you know, my recovery and my healing, and to see, you know, everything that I went through. He just was there, and he's not a great talker. He has great English language, but I mean, he's not a talker. He's more of a doer, you know, like me. I'm going to talk and tell you how I feel, and you know, what I'm going through. He holds it. And I think for the last incident that me and him went through, he held, and then he blew up on me. I don't know if it was to blame me, or if he was trying to explain to me, you know, it's too much, you know, it was too much for him, what I went through, and he didn't have no help. You know, I guess he didn't know what to do, how to take care of me, you know, and I'm not making. And you know, and then he's working so many hours and, you know, paying all the bills, and, you know, he come here and I can't even walk, you know. And he had people pulling him out, you know, in so many different directions. Come to find out later, that's why my prayer for him is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and get, Lord have mercy, and get him some deliverance and, you know, talk to God about some of these situations that you're going through. If you don't understand, if it's too much, you know, if it's overwhelming, you know, and it's too much and you're not getting enough sleep and, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that. And, you know, the weight of the world is on your shoulders. It's okay. It's okay. As a man, it's okay to have a weak moment. It's okay. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, nobody's not going to look at you different. That's my opinion. You know, God is not going to say, oh, no, you can't have a weak moment. Oh, no, you know, Lord, this is too much for me. You know, take it to God. So he, that's where he is now learning to, learning to not hold and learning to communicate more effectively as to how he feels and what he's going through, because he feels like nobody cares about what, how he feels. They just want him to do, want. I got to do this. I need that. I got to give me this, give me that. I got to go here. I got to do this. But nobody stopped to ask him, well, how has this impacted your life? Nobody stopped. Well, I did, but he did always told me he was fine. You know, nobody stopped, you know, him, because not only was the accident traumatic, life-changing for me, it was also traumatic and life-changing for him, because when I began to drive, I didn't have a cell phone. I had the house phone. I told him, don't pay my cell phone, but I don't need no cell phone. I ain't going away. I got a house phone. But when I began to get out and drive a little bit, he would panic, and he would be like, you know, calling the house every 5 minutes. I'm okay. No. And that's when I began to realize that the accident also took a traumatic toll on his life. He said he walked in there and he seen me. He just said, I just seen needles and blood everywhere and, you know, blood coming out your body and, you know, they got tubes hooked up to you everywhere. And he said, then I went and seen your car and the way your car was bent up like somebody stepped on a soda can. You know how you step on a soda can and it you know, comes around your shoe? He said, your car looked like a soda can. And, you know, it's been a rough and trying time for not only me, but also him. He's looking at me from the outside. I'm experiencing these things personally, but he's watching me go through these things. And I think at one point he may have felt helpless. You know, a man prides himself on being strong. He prides himself on being an excellent provider and helping and being able to, you know, fix, you know, being the provider, being the strong one. And I think when he saw that he couldn't do anything to help me out of my situation, he had to watch as I suffered and went through there. It took a toll on him. And I just pray to God that, you know, he will talk more. I want everyone to pray with me. And he will let, you know, me know, or at least tell God. You don't have to tell me, but at least tell God when you're struggling, you know, with something, you know, because my accident really hurt him bad, you know. And he began to want to try to drink again heavily, but thank God that didn't take root, you know, because he didn't know how to deal. So his first reaction was to run, the devil is a liar. We bonded that up quick. You know, he didn't know where else to, how to relieve. So, you know, I thank God for grace and mercy. I thank God, you know, I give God thanks for him. You know, we've had some very, very difficult times, but in the end, you know, he is working on becoming a man of God. And when he becomes a man, a true man of God, then the some of the things that we've experienced or are experiencing in our marriage will no longer be a problem. I just thank God for the listeners today. I know that my host and her husband have to go to a funeral. We don't have any callers this morning, but I want to thank everybody for tuning in. My next episode should be one day this next month. I have a woman named Patty Jackson who has been dealing with cancer for a very long time, and she's had several types of cancer. So she has a testimony she wants to share about how the Lord has brought her through her struggles and her trials and tribulations. So would you like to say anything, Pastor Burns, before we end this episode? Hello? Okay, well,
I'm here. I just want to thank God again for you being able to come on and share your testimony with us. Mm-hmm. We are calling Alexander, not getting to be the man of God, but being the man of God.
Amen. Thank you for the correction.
Right now.
Thank you for the correction. Amen. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
and,
that.
And we, I'm not going to ask my husband to say anything when he's busy getting ready, but just thank God. And, you know, we just thank you for being able to stand in for us. And this is going to be our co-host, and you're going to be hearing a lot from her and sharing and giving honor to God. So stay tuned and be sure to join us every Saturday.
Amen. And I thank everyone for listening and everyone who go in the archives and pull this out. I pray that I touch someone today. I pray that someone takes a walk and a talk with God today. I pray that someone asks God, you know, to come into their lives. You know, it's about bringing souls to Christ. And without testimony, that's what we're doing. And I thank everyone for tuning in. Do I end it?
Do you want to end us in prayer? Do you want to end us in prayer, Renita?
Okay. Yes, I can. All right. Thank everybody for tuning in. Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how. Give me your name all the honor and glory and praise. With a repentant heart, Father, I come before you. I hold up the Burns family this morning and the family of the deceased, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Send your angels and your Holy Ghost Spirit to give each one of them a special hug and touch today, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank God for life, health, and strength. I thank God for being in the land of living. I thank God for allowing me to be able to share my testimony this morning. I thank God for saving my life. I thank God for allowing me to have a voice this morning because it's trying to go out on me. I thank God for my husband. I thank God for Pastor Burns and Pastor Adrian Bernard. I pray that her prayer summit was successful last night. I pray that the prayers go out and do what they were prayed, what people asked to do. I thank God, you know, just for being here. And I give his name all the honor and the glory and the praise. Amen.